Build of the future. How did you put it together? Where did you go? And, you know, just how did the process go?
Yeah, I mean, we did this record similar to the last one, the one before it, and the days of jamming out in a rehearsal space are long gone. You know, it's sort of built in part pieces and sort of Frankenstein together. You know, generally I, you know, start the writing process with one of my guitar players. Just kind of start pro tooling things around, you know, try a riff here, find a cool beat here, or, you know, or start with a lyric, and then we get you know, things sort of up to a, you know, 60 to 70% spot, and then we go in the studio. And this record we tracked with Evan, who used to be in the band, Evan Rodaniche, who actually recorded the last album too. So it was a familiar process for us. You know, we had worked together before, and, he also is a, you know, contributor in terms of songwriting and, playing, so, kind of cool. It's kind of like having an extra band member without having actually been in the band.
Yeah, it's a lot easier than just getting used to somebody.
Well, if something works, you know, like, I mean, change is always good, you know. Never,
right.
You know, I can't say what I would do for the next album, but I really liked where we went with the album for this one, so I want to sort of continue on that process and that sound and just build on it, make it sound bigger and better. And that's why I feel like we accomplished that, so I didn't want to, you know, I just felt like it made sense, you know, just sort of use the same people as the last album.
How to Be a Human, you went with a lyric video as opposed to the crazy Power Man 5000 space agey stuff. What was the thought process behind that?
It was just purely logistics, really. Like, I mean, you know, the lyric video thing, it's been around for a while, but it's a fairly new thing that everybody seems to be doing, and I'm not quite sure why. But the idea of doing a lyric video came up, so, you know, we were about to go on tour, I think, so we didn't have time to do a video, we've since done, but we just started doing a lyric video a little bit easier for the band, because, you know, you just kind of get over someone and do a bunch of graphics, and I guess, you know, it's kind of a cool thing to get that out first and let people know for it, after that, we did shoot a more of a performance-based video for How to Be, and this was, I think, a few days ago.
There's this kind of thing that you and I guess a couple of other bands have been doing also for a while. I mean, a lot of the times it was somebody in a label or somebody who got a promo, leaked a song, but bands are starting to do it too. So how, I guess the question is, making tracks leak as a marketing tool, what puts you in the direction to kind of do that, where it's like not really a leak, but it seems like a leak when a band does it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I've never done that. I mean, I don't know. I know what you're saying. I mean, I don't feel like it used to be that there was, you know, like, having, you sort of had control over your music and how it got distributed and how, when people heard it. I mean, yeah, there was sort of this opportunity to maybe either, you know, intentionally leak something. I don't know. It seems a little silly to do that, but, I don't really feel like there's any impact in that anymore because stuff just, one, it's out and everywhere so immediately, they have no control over it anyway, so there's no control over, oh, we're gonna put this song out and let, you know, a few people hear it, or whatever the strategy might be. So, I mean, I don't even look at the album as anything but, you know, like a free advertisement for the band, you know. I mean, there are people that buy music for sure, still buy CDs or legally download stuff, but I don't even really think about that, because I feel like at the end of the day, it's all up for grabs. You know, there's nothing you can do about it, and there's no control. So, as far as any kind of leaking strategy, I don't know. I don't think we've ever tried anything like that, as far as I can remember.
Also, it isn't always that bad, because usually the person who, whenever they pick up the track, or if they like it or anything like that, they're going to go to the show regardless, and they're probably going to buy a t-shirt or something like that. So it isn't always the worst-case scenario that, you know, they'll download the music.
No, look, it's just the way it is, though. So you can't sit around and be upset about it. It's nice, you know, I wouldn't say I prefer it, to be honest. I mean, I like when people actually purchase music, because it is something that is, you know, takes a lot of effort, and it does cost money to make and produce. We pay people and producers and whatever, you know. So, I'm not saying that I prefer that it's all free now, but I don't sit around and, you know, grumble over it and wish, you know, think, talk about the good old days. I mean, it is what it is. And now, ultimately, you just want to try to, you just hope that, you know, the interest in the band and interest in the song translates to, yeah, people coming out to the shows and just being invested in what you do. And somehow, maybe that allows you to make, well, some money, and it's almost like you gotta get run over by a car.
Can you explain to me how Power Man 5000 just has this ever-changing sound? How the evolution of the sound just transpired from the beginning to now till what it may become eventually?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of factors on why the band has had so many sort of different sounds and explored different territories. I mean, I think some of it is purely you just change as a person, your tastes change, or you discover new things that you want to try, and, you know, and you grow up, or you regress, I don't know, you know. And when we started the band, it was very much a different animal and a different time, and, you know, not to mention technology was a whole different animal where we weren't, you know, it wasn't a Pro Tools environment, so it was very much an organic process where you got in a room with four or five guys and you wrote a song live. That's what the song was. And so, you know, and then add in the mix that, you know, I've had so many band member changes, and each person brings in their own influences and their own thoughts and, you know, energy to the band, and that helps contribute to a change in style or new approach. It's really just been me sort of steering the ship and kind of just wanting to do different things. And we started out, I guess it was very much sort of this rap rock thing, you know, kind of before rap rock became, you know, sort of mainstream. And then, you know, then it was like, then the electronic element, I got really interested in electronic music and wanted to start to incorporate that into the sound. So that sort of fundamentally changed the way that the band sounded and also the way we made music. Because now you're incorporating, you know, loops and synthesizers and these other things that didn't come into play before. And then at that point, you know, we got some success, and we sort of got known for that sound, and then inevitably, you know, you kind of go like, well, fuck, I want to try something totally different, and then you end up, you know, we ended up stripping it down and, you know, making it a little more punk rock in attitude or whatever, and then I think eventually, you know, with the record before this one, Somewhere on the Other Side of Nowhere, and with Builders of the Future, I just became really comfortable with the fact that we had developed this sound, this sort of electronic metal sound, and I really felt that getting back to that was the right thing to do creatively. And so now I feel like I feel like there'll be less experimenting, honestly. I feel like I sort of settled comfortably into what the band is and what I want it to be. And, you know, we're always trying new things and try to do the best versions of that as possible, but I really like the sound that we're at for staying in this world for a while.
Would you say that this somewhat completes your vision of what Power Man 5000 is about?
Well, today, sure, you know, I don't know, we'll see how it goes. We start making another record, but yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, I think it's a natural thing for anybody creatively to sort of want to, you know, walk away from certain things that they've done. You know, you don't want to always feel like you're just repeating yourself, you know. Although I've always admired bands like that, that, you know, whether it's the Ramones or any band that just sort of from day one just had their sound and they just felt no need to, like, stray from, you know, so perfect. You know, I always sort of wanted to be that band, and we never were, you know, always sort of forcing myself to experiment. So, and plus there's, you know, we've had a lot of different influences. You know, we're, you know, one part metal, one part punk rock, one part electronic, one part rap, one part, you know, and you have all these different elements pushing and pulling, and inevitably you're going to have each record be a little bit different, so. But I do kind of feel like it's full circle, you know. I feel like come back to, you know, I think what